I'm driving home late one night, a couple of years ago. I'm tired. I'm grumpy. I just want to get home, have a glass of wine, go to bed. I'm on Pecan Street. Most of you know where Pecan Street is. I'm going west on Pecan Street, headed to my house, which is on Windermere Drive. So I'm trying to get home. I'm heading west, and I'm behind some insufferable slowpoke who's in the right lane, insists on driving about 30 miles under the speed limit. To make matters worse, he's got a slowpoke partner in the left lane. So I switch lanes back and forth a few times, trying to get by. Can't get by. So I flash my lights in that polite way, sending a message. Get out of my way! I'm tired. I want to get home. You're in the way. Finally, I see a gap. A gap just barely enough for me maybe to squeeze by without causing a serious accident. So I stomp on my accelerator. I swing in back into the left lane, right up on the bumper of the guy in front of me. And then I cut the wheel right as fast as I can, hard as I can, to shoot by the right lane antagonist. And I make it. And I pop into that right lane. I hit the afterburners for home. Celebrating. Woo-hoo! How about those guys? And then the red and blue lights show up in my rearview mirror. That's right. Right behind me had been a cop. It was dark. I didn't know it was a cop till I made my wonderful speed demon move there. And so the police officer pulls me over for reckless driving in the shopping center of the parking lot on the street where I live. I was so close to home, and those flashing lights meant I was caught red-handed. He knew it. I knew it. I was guilty. You know that feeling, don't you? You think you're about to get away with something you knew was wrong, and then suddenly, without warning, busted. It might be a speed trap. It might be the exam you didn't think you needed to study for because you're pretty smart. And then you get the actual exam before you and you go, busted, I'm in trouble. It might be a lie you told or a secret sin you thought you were getting away with. It might be something you said in an unguarded moment that revealed a dark little evil in your heart that you didn't want anybody to know was there. In that moment, which we've all had, you panic because you're exposed and you know the other shoe is about to drop. You're guilty, caught red-handed. No more pretending. That happened at the Last Supper. Judas had a plan. He had an evil, devious plan. He had already met secretly with the chief priests, and he'd agreed on the price of 30 pieces of silver. It was just a matter at this point of waiting for the right time to deliver Jesus to them, a time when there'd be no crowd to interfere. So there they were that night in the upper room with Jesus to celebrate the Passover meal, the most sacred meal of the Jewish faith. They're there to celebrate that. And there sat Judas with his secret, feeling smug and superior. That's how people with secret plans to get away with something usually feel, smug and superior. Oh, it's a sweet morsel that we savor. The coming moment that we're going to get away with something. We're going to put someone in their place. We're going to get somebody. We've got that gotcha moment. And we know it's coming and nobody else does. You'll be on top, he'll be crushed. It was a sweet morsel Judas savored that night at the table as the bread was placed on the table and the wine was poured. Then came the first big surprise of the evening. When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me." They were very sad. They began to say to him one after the other, "Surely not I, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And Jesus answered, "Yes, it is you." The first moment of doubt flashed in his mind when Jesus said, "One of you will betray me." How did Jesus know? Wait, maybe he doesn't know it's me. Maybe he's bluffing. Maybe he's just heard a rumor. Be calm, be calm. Don't give yourself away here. And then the others begin to ask, "Surely not I, Lord. Surely not I." And so he played along, feigning a sad face, and in his most sincere voice asked, "Well, surely not I, Lord." Imagine his shock when the response was, "Yes, yes, Judas, it's you. It's you, and I know it's you." What panic must have shot through Judas's mind in that moment when Jesus revealed that he knew what he was planning. Judas also very likely knew that Peter had a sword hidden under his tunic. It would come out later that night in the garden. He was probably not the only one among them that carried a concealed weapon. Judas had witnessed Peter's hot-headed temper. He had been there also when James and John asked Jesus, "Do you want us to call down fire from heaven and just destroy this village that didn't welcome us?" He also knew that another Simon in the group was a zealot, part of a secret society that advocated the violent overthrow of their Roman rulers. There were weapons in the room. Judas must have thought, in that moment when he knew, Jesus knew, he must have thought, "I'm dead. I'm dead." He probably glanced nervously around the room, looking to spot where the door was, which he had paid no attention to when he came in. It's on the other side of the room. So he's thinking, "My only chance is to make a dash for the door. I'll never make it. Those fishermen are going to gut me like a fish." Then came the second surprising shock for Judas. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. He gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." And then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus handed Judas the bread, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body." Jesus knew there was betrayal in the heart of Judas, one of his chosen disciples. He knew Judas was planning to turn him over to the authorities for torture and crucifixion, a horrible death. Nevertheless, Jesus handed Judas the bread as though Judas was one of his very own, one of his best friends. I've often wondered if that was Jesus' way to give Judas one last chance to repent. He didn't, of course. But you and I can. Look into your own heart before you make the trek to the Lord's table today. Is there in your heart a morsel of betrayal? If we claim Christ as our Lord, how can intentional sin in our life be anything less than betrayal? And the thing is, just like he knew what was in the heart of Judas, he knows what's in your heart when you're walking to this table to partake of the bread that symbolizes his body and partake of the cup that is his blood. He knows your heart. He knows all of it. He knows the secret sin you harbor. He knows what you fear others finding out. He knows when you engage in some kind of sham repentance. Oh, surely I'm not the guilty one, Lord. He knows. And yet, he extends to you the bread of life. Do you hear deep inside your heart? Do you hear the voice of Christ calling you to repentance? Come to the table. Come to the table this morning and eat of the bread of life in remembrance of the sacrifice for you. Drink from the cup of forgiveness, not because you've earned the right, but because the Lord Himself invites you, loves you, calls you to renounce the evil secrets in your heart, the evil sins that you have, and begin to live for Him. So there I was, caught red-handed. I've got no excuse for my crazy, wrong, life-endangering behavior. No defense at all. The officer pulls up behind me in the parking lot. He walks up to my door like they always do. Not that I experience it a lot, but he walks up to the door and asks for my driver's license, my proof of insurance, asks me why I was in such a hurry. I offered no excuse. And I steeled myself for the hefty ticket that was going to ruin my budget that month. And then I hear those wonderful words that we all love to hear in that situation, the miraculous, undeserved words, "Sir, I'm going to give you a warning ticket for reckless driving tonight, but please slow down." You bet I will slow down. Yes, sir. Grace is good. Grace is what Christ our Lord gives you at this table. He doesn't invite you and He doesn't invite me because we're such good people. He invites us because He chooses to forgive us, to cleanse us, to fellowship with us. He wants you to come. Grace. That's what we receive at the table. The table is the Lord's table here at Pflugerville Community Church. Whoever is on the Lord's side, meaning those who call on the name of Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior, you come and commune with Him at the table. Make your way to one of the tables. We have two stations at each table with the bread and the cups. And just break off a piece of the bread and eat it together with someone that you go to the table with. And then take a cup and drink, and you can put the used cups in the little baskets there. And that would be great. So you come and partake. Our worship team's going to play. And just when you're ready, and take your time with this. We don't have to line up from the table to the back of the room. Just stay where you are, because we probably all need to reflect on our own hearts. Is there a morsel of betrayal there that we need to repent of and begin to come clean with the Lord God? And then you come and receive forgiveness and mercy and grace in the form of the bread and the wine today. Let's pray and then you come to the table and partake when you are ready. Lord God Almighty, once again we come to you. How good it is to come to your table. How frightening it is to know that you know our hearts. And there are things there that are not good. And it amazes me every day that you love me anyway, and that you call me to come to receive forgiveness, to receive mercy, to remember why you died on the cross, to give us hope of being changed, not to remain the way we are. So, Lord God, as we in the depths of our heart confess our sins to you, bring the joy of forgiveness and your love and your mercy. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You come to the tables as you're ready.